Today, I'm going to invite you. Well, first of all, let me ask a question. How many lovers are in the room? Everybody's hand should be up. How many dreamers are in the room? And how many me's are in the room? The lovers, the dreamers, the me. But Unity North, we're all about the lovers, the dreamers, and the we. The we that we come together, the rainbow that absolutely lives and breathes when we come in our eclectic ways of thinking, our different ways of finding the infinite presence of the light and the love, the different ways we come together and somehow we prove something. We don't have to be the same in order for the rainbow to shine. In fact, the colors of the rainbow are absolutely necessary. I'm going to invite you today, as we have another story. This is the second story we're going to hear today in our series about the power of stories to heal and to transform. How many were here for Veronica Rockquist last week? Wasn't that an amazing story? I hope you carried her with you the whole time. But to look at your life, your story, through the lens of that beautiful arc of color in the sky, bridging heaven and earth, bridging the sky and the earth. Nature's promise that there's always light at the end of any storm, right? At the end of any dark night of the soul or any storm in your life, there is always the promise that light will be there. In fact, light can be right in the middle of the storm. They are symbols. Rainbows are symbols of hope, of diversity, of unity and beauty and creativity and the power that comes when we commit to letting our light shine through the prism of our lives. No matter what's going on in our life, we make a commitment to allowing all parts of ourselves to shine in the sky for ourselves and for others. I want you to think today of the rainbow and the colors as a chakra system. They line up. They line up perfectly. This is not me. This is just taking the colors of the rainbow and overlaying them over the chakra system. That is how our Christ is revealed, how the light, the beauty of our essence is revealed. Let's start with the red. Those of you who study the chakra system, this is the root chakra. It's the grounding. It's the strength. It's the courage. It's the fire. It's the ability to do what is ours to do on earth, connected to the earth itself. And then we move into the orange, which looks very yellow up there. Does it look orange to you? I don't know how that happened, because I spent all afternoon yesterday making sure I had the perfectly right colors. So we use the faculty of our imagination, creativity, joy, and play, with the playful energy. How many people want to play through your spiritual evolution? If you're not having fun, then don't waste your time. It is a fun journey back to the Garden of Eden, back to the divine self. And so the orange is creativity, joy, and playful energy. Yellow, confidence and clarity and understanding to know yourself. How many of you feel like you know yourself a little better today than you did yesterday or 10 years ago, 20 years ago? All the hands go up. Yeah, I'm a different person today, because you got a clearer picture of who you are and who God has chosen to be as you doing business on earth. That's what the yellow represents. And then we have green. We all know this is the heart chakra, right? Represents love, tenderness, compassion, and understanding for yourself and for others. It's essential. It is essential to our becoming, to the rainbow of our existence being in its fullness, and it's right there in the center, absolutely in the center. Love is foundational to everything we teach, and love is foundational to every spiritual path that ever has dotted the face of the earth. Then we move into blue, truth and authenticity. How many of us are living out loud? We are called, that's what we do here at Unity North, from that place of love to live authentically, transparently, as who God created you to be, without apology, without excuses, but just being you. And then we get the indigo. This is the third eye, the chakra here, the spiritual insight, the trusting of the divine downloads, the divine energy that is placed upon your heart. That idea and that notion that only can come through you, God has chosen, the universe, the cosmos has chosen to express as you. And we get it through the third eye. Anybody ever have something pop to that part of you that didn't make any sense to the human ego? I sit here today, basically as a testimony to the spiritual understanding that came through in my human mind, living in fear and doubt, said that doesn't make sense. This is an essential part of the rainbow, the download that says, I will be there with you, for you, around you, and as you. And then, of course, the violet. When all of these colors, these divine ideas are firing on all pistons, then the Christ is revealed, the violet. The crown, the Christ known by the name Buddha, the Buddha nature, the Atman, the Tao, the divine light, the divine essence, the rainbow is what we're going to call it today. The rainbow of you. All things are working together and we shine in the sky. And there's an amplification because when it's firing on all cylinders, anybody ever see a double rainbow? There is an increase, a spiritual increase and an amplification. When we come together and your light is at its fullness and my light's at its fullness and everybody in the room, there's a double. And anybody seen a triple rainbow? I had the blessing at one point to see three rainbows all at one time. It was magnificent and glorious. And I'll talk about what happened in that moment for me in a moment. But when we cultivate all these energies, all these chakras within our system, in our mind, our heart, and our life, we begin to attune ourselves to the divine essence that we were created in and after. The spirit shining in, through, around, but more importantly, as us. As you. As me. We become, essentially, the rainbow that we've been seeking. And my Irish blood, I've got my Irish blood, of course, you're always looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But the reality is, when all things are firing together, I begin to realize that I am the treasure. I am the gold inside that chest. I am the light itself. I am not separate from it. And so I can seek out here for years and years and years and never find it until I realize it's an inward journey. And the gold and the treasure and the rainbow is here. It says in the song, someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. My hope is that the work that we do here, the stories that we share, the relationships that we build, that now is that moment. Not someday, not some far off distant place. I don't have to wait till I've had the right class or the right workshop or I've met the right people. It is a now experience. And we're one breath, one heartbeat away from the full realization of looking that deeply to realize I am that which I have been seeking. The lovers, those of us who live from compassion. You know, it's going to come through the heart chakra. We cannot think our way into enlightenment. You cannot think your way into a relationship with the divine essence. It must come through love. So the lovers exist here. The lovers bring a compassion and an understanding that is necessary to not just their own evolution, but the evolution of the whole here today. And then the dreamers, using the intellect, the visionaries who are downloading things that don't seem possible, suddenly there's a great partnership. The head and the heart come together. Our guest storyteller today is an amazing example of what I just talked about. I knew of his reputation before I actually met him in class, but I've got a little more to say before I bring him up here, and then he will dazzle you with his being. We have been involved in the series about stories, and last week's story was a story of overcoming horrible, dark circumstances. When I talked to Elliot Rozovsky, he says, I didn't really have overcoming, but what he had was a revealing at a very young age. His spiritual journey started at a very young age. You'll hear about that. And at 21 years old, I'm blown away with the wisdom coupled with a heart energy that exists in this man's presence. It's less a story of overcoming, and it's a marriage of the head and the heart, an incredible intellect married with a deep feeling nature. Some would say the male and female parts of us in perfect harmony, and the rainbow shines. A story of finding coherence, of finding connection, a story of seeking until it was found. Compassion, dreaming, thinking, feeling, the rainbow connection of an integrated system in one person. A rainbow doesn't just brighten the sky. And as I thought about our guest today and what I knew about him before I actually had a conversation with him, was what he caused the class to do. He's been in every one of our Monday night classes as part of our lay leader program. And people came to me in droves. Have you met Elliot? Have you talked to Elliot? Have you experienced Elliot? Over and over and over. What do rainbows cause us to do, everybody? Look up. First thing you do is look up. I'm not defined by what's happening here in the world. I'm defined by a consciousness that's looking up. And then what do rainbows also cause you to do? Stop and pause and think differently. Stop and pause and feel. That's what we do here. Each one of us is called to be a rainbow, to cause the rest of this congregation, and then to do it out there, the rest of the world, to stop and to pause and to realize that there is beauty right in the midst of the rainstorm. Right in the midst of the dark clouds, there is beauty. But you don't find it unless you stop and you pause and you look and you pay attention. Eliot Brzozowski has caused this church to stop, to pause, to look up, and to see the beauty in the most loving way. His IQ is probably far surpassing mine. Yet it is married with a sense of being that has ministered to a great number of people without ego, without push, without shove, but just with being. Another line from the song says, "Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name." Eliot will tell you how old he was when he first started getting the call. But the reality is, it's calling your name. Today may be the day, not someday, that the Rainbow Connection happens. It's this day, based upon what we talk about here in just a few moments. At Unity, we hear them not just calling our name. We hear him calling the name of the person to your left and your right. We feel and sense and know the rainbow, the essence, the indigo, the violet, the green, the yellow, the magnificence of every soul sitting around you right now, because we are partners in believing. We are co-creators in changing the face of the planet. And that voice is calling us to wake up from our sleep. Your one breath, your one decision, your one relationship away from a waking up process. So someday is not tomorrow. We wake up today and remember the connection to the prism of light that we have always, always been. One of my missions, and I told this to Eliot this week when we met, is to shine my light so brightly that others cannot help but know that that same light exists in them. And he said, "That's my mission too." I resonate with that. When we live in full color, we don't just find a rainbow connection, we become it. We become that spectrum of beauty, that bridge, that story, that invitation, that sign for others to wake up to the spectrum of their own magnificent rainbow essence. And it doesn't matter how old you are when it happens, but I'm going to invite this 21-year-old up here to be our story for the day. Will you please welcome to this chair, Eliot Brzozowski. Hey, Eliot, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Richard. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I checked him out. He's going to tell you about himself, but he's got students at Kennesaw State, and I went online to check him out, and they agree with me. 5-star ratings from every single student that he's been teaching in college. So, Eliot, introduce yourself to the family.
Thank you so much for inviting me up here, Richard. As you said, my name is Eliot Brzozowski, and I did used to teach at Kennesaw State University, which is my alma mater. I just recently got my master's degree in professional writing from KSU back in December. At the same time that I was getting that degree, I was teaching composition classes there. My students did not know I was very close to their age. They were practically my peers. I didn't tell them that. But I graduated at 21 with my master's degree. I got my bachelor's from KSU at age 18, meaning I graduated from high school at age 16. So I've been focused on academics for a while now, trying to build up towards my dream to be able to teach others and to be able to do writing. My dream is to be a published author. So I'm now taking time off of school to focus on myself, to focus on my writing, and to figure out what I want to do in life.
So if you keep trying hard enough, you might achieve something in your life. You know, you're the consummate overachiever. You have done so much in such a little time, and you also have a black belt. How old were you when you got a black belt?
When I got my first black belt, I think I was 6. And then I got my third degree black belt by the time I was 12. I was a state champ in all 7 categories of Taekwondo. And that was just me as a 12-year-old.
So what I said earlier, and I really believe this, you know, this sometimes feels like my first rodeo on earth, but if there is a case for reincarnation, it's sitting here to my right. Many, many rodeos with this young man. But, you know, when you are an overachiever, when you accomplish so much, when there's so much that you do in such a short time, are there consequences to that that you've had to deal with?
Absolutely. Wonderful question. Because I had this drive and this motivation to push myself to achieve all of these things, I did find that there was some repercussions, including a lot of stress, a lot of what might look like anxiety, or just this constant drive, this need to feel like I must accomplish something, I must be good at this thing that I'm good at, which is academics. And eventually I began to realize that along with the positives of feeling accomplished, there was also the negatives of I started to define myself by my accomplishments, by my academics, by my good grades. And eventually, I stopped and paused and wondered, without that, who am I? What am I? What is my value? What is my worth? And where do I find it besides this A on this assignment or this degree that is a piece of paper that someone gave me?
So this is a journey we're all on. And we say it pretty much every week. We are not what we do. We are not what we've earned. We are not the rewards or the accolades. We're not our jobs. We're not our relationships. That's a journey that we've all had, maybe at a little bit later in life. But Elliot's talking about that. So you began to do some exploration. What was the exploration that you endeavored to do?
Yeah, so when I was getting the master's degree, I was teaching at the same time, and I thought, this is, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm good at this. But at the same time, there was so much stress, and I realized this is not sustainable. I cannot keep doing this. Something is wrong. Something is off. So I talked to my parents, and I said, after I get the master's degree, I'm pausing. I'm taking time off. I'm going to explore what I'm actually looking for in life. What am I actually doing? Why am I doing it? And that looked like a lot of meditation. It looked like a lot of reading, a lot of journaling, where I went, I cannot base my image of myself on these temporary things, on these things that are stressful to try and accomplish, on these things that ultimately are not the fulfillment I'm looking for. So I sat and I paused and I thought, who am I really? What really defines my worth? Why am I really here on earth? Because it's not assignments, it's not teaching, it's not writing.
How many of you have asked those very questions? That's good. You know, we say at Unity that we're here to get our answers, our questions answered, but also to get our answers questioned. And asking, this is part of the spiritual path. Who am I? Who am I really? Why am I here on earth? And so what is my true self? In our discussion this week, you said, I began to remember who I am. Who are you? What did you learn beyond all this other stuff?
Well, when you sit and you think about who are you, there's so many answers you could come up with off the top of your head. So my sister and I did this exercise once where she went, who are you? Well, and I said, well, I'm a teacher. She went, no, I didn't ask for your job. Who are you? I went, well, I'm a student. She went, no, I didn't ask for that. Who are you? And we kept peeling back the layers. And I went, well, I'm not my job. I'm not my name. I'm not my face. Who am I? And I came up with the answer that I am love, I am source, I am God, I am the universe. And that's the only answer I've ever found true, always.
And I think that's absolutely what we're getting to. And you have this uncanny ability to, people in your presence, to bring not only an assurance of who you are as love, but for that to be conveyed through your intellect. You're a really smart guy. They always talk about your smarts, but they also feel safe in your presence. How is that understanding of who you truly are conveyed out into the world?
I think it's this sitting with myself, connecting to my higher self. I begin to feel that trust and that comfort in who I am, in my alignment with my higher self, with the universe. And when I feel that, it gives me the space to be authentic. It gives me the space to feel joy, to feel love, and to bring that to everywhere that I walk into, every room I walk into, as long as I'm actually connected with myself, that is. And when I do that...
Can we pause that for a second? As long as I'm connected to myself and who I truly am, all those things show up in the world.
Yeah. I lose it sometimes, and then I remember. Because I notice when I've lost it. I notice when I go, I'm not connected to myself, because something feels wrong, something feels off. So I go into meditation, I ground myself, I remember who I am, and then I bring that into a space, I say, I'm being authentically myself, and it gives people the room to be authentic with me.
So are you the same person you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago?
No, I'm always changing. And I find a lot of comfort in that, in not defining myself by who I was last year, who I was 5 years ago, who I was last week. It gives me the space to be who I am in the moment, who I need to be in the moment. And I find that very fulfilling. And it relieves a lot of anxiety about the future, because I used to be so future-driven. Well, this is the path that I'm on. Well, this is the linear path of life and success, and I need to rush down it as fast as I can. No, I'm allowed to take the time and space to just be who I am today, right now.
Has everybody always accepted you for who you are, and it's been really easy, and the path was just cleared before you when you stood in the magnificence of your essence? Did the path always clear for you?
No, definitely not. I've been blessed with a very supportive family, a very supportive community for the majority of my life. And I focus on that, and I focus on the people who did give me the space to be myself. But there's always, you know, people, aspects of society, you know, communities that I was once a part of who say, we want you to be this way, we want you to be that way, this is who you're supposed to be. No, this is who you used to be, why aren't you that anymore? And I eventually just realized I don't have to listen to them, you know. I am born on this planet for a specific reason, and I only get to accomplish that if I'm living as myself, not as so-and-so wants me to be or not as this group wants me to be. I have to be myself.
So one of the things that we talked about in our preparation for today, and I wrote these words down, stay hungry, stay thirsty, stay teachable. To have a college professor telling me that the evolutionary path means I need to stay teachable and open. Can you speak about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the benefits of me teaching and getting my degree at the same time was I always had that ingrained in me that learning is a lifelong journey. You're never done learning. And I found that very helpful because it opened my eyes to being able to receive what other people had to offer me. Even my students, I was teaching them, but I was learning from them. And that kind of gives me the room to grow all the time. I'm never stagnant. I kind of get antsy if I'm in the same place or feel stagnant for too long. And I go, you know, what is that? What is that feeling? But when I remain open and I realize that I'm always growing, I'm never the same person day one and day two, it gives me the trust to believe in myself and the universe to go, I am still growing. I am still learning.
So it's one thing to discover that you're love. It's one, I recognize it. I am love. I am love incarnate. But you also said in our interview beforehand, everything that has ever happened to me was love's impact. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the storms. It was love's impact. And you said this, which is one of the unity principles. I see no enemies. The master teacher said, love your enemies. And we teach around here, you have no enemies. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. In my period of discernment in these meditations where I sit and connect with myself, when I discover what it means to be human, that I am love, that I am source, it made it impossible for me to see hate or enemies in the faces of the people around me, even people who are no longer in my life or who don't actively wish the best for me or who have, you know, caused pain in my life. I can't see them as my enemies. Because I see the face of God in myself. And if it's there because I am human, because it is simply who I am, it must be in the person to my left and to my right, the people I don't talk to anymore, the people I don't know anything about. It must be there. Because as much as I am human, as much as I am source, they are human, they are source. And all of the stress or things that look like pain or things that I've experienced that maybe weren't fun to go through have turned me into the man that I am today. Someone that I love being. Someone that I know I'm meant to be. Therefore, if I'm meant to be this person, everything that has ever happened to me was meant to happen to me. Therefore, it must be an expression of the love of the universe.
Breathe that in, family. Breathe that in. Life is for you, moving you in the direction of a fuller expression of your love and your essence. Now, it's easier to do in a community where everybody's got the same idea. So life can be difficult. You don't change the thing. What important role does community like this play in your continued evolutionary process?
Community is so important to me because of all the moments where it hasn't been there. When I feel isolated, when I feel focused on school, or when I've left prior communities and then realized I didn't have community anymore. I told Richard, and many people know this, I was born and raised Catholic. So for a long period of time, I had that spiritual community. I was very Catholic when I was in middle school and high school. And I thought, you know, I didn't go to public school, so this is where I had friends. This is where I had community. And we're like-minded, we're spiritual. But as I grew up and as I grew older and I realized more about myself, that no longer was a safe community for me. It became a very uncomfortable place to be a part of. The people became uncomfortable for me to be around. And so around 2020, that happened around COVID, where I started to discover that I did not align with that community anymore. And so during that period of quarantine and isolation, when I had kind of severed this connection with my spiritual community that was such a large part of my life, I thought, I'm just in complete isolation now. And in that isolation, I very much noticed the lack of community created this sort of emptiness where I went, what is life? Why am I here? And in discovering that I am love and so much of the purpose of life for me is love, I needed to have in community. I cannot just feel that love in isolation all the time. I need to feel the love in the people around me. And so throughout my spiritual journey, I began to discover what I actually believed, not what any one religion wanted to teach me was the truth about God or the universe. I discovered it independently. I did reading, I did meditation, I did journaling, and I found what I discerned to be true about our universe, about our world, about myself. And for a good bit of time, I thought, surely no one believes this. Surely I'm destined to sit in isolation forever and just be spiritual by myself. And then eventually I did find unity, and I found this community of like-minded people where I can sit in the comfort of knowing this is how I see the universe and I feel it in the people around me. I told Richard one of the first times that I ever came to universe, I felt the arms of the universe around me, encompassing me, holding me and loving me.
Breathe that in. You know, we have said for a while, last week we talked about the container of Unity North. That's a little rough around the edges sometimes. But the substance that's on the inside is what it's all about. And that's what Elliot felt. He felt the substance of the consciousness of this collective environment. You obviously have a very advanced intellect, but one of the things that was most meaningful to me is you said things like, I needed to take time to feel what I was feeling. Why am I feeling this way? What am I feeling? Can you speak a little bit about the marriage between your thought process and your feeling nature?
Absolutely. In sort of my intellectualism, one of the things that I love to do is psychoanalyze myself. I consider it one of my hobbies. And so for a long time, almost every time that I felt a feeling, I went, I need to know where this comes from. I need to know why I'm feeling this way. Why do I feel this drive and motivation for success? Why do I feel this stress? Why do I feel this lack of fulfillment? I needed to understand. I craved understanding. And so as I was working through my feelings, perhaps intellectualizing them too much at times, I discovered a little bit more of what was causing them, and in this process realized, I am not my feelings. I am not my thoughts. There are things that I'm experiencing as part of this human experience, but I don't need to define myself by them. That made them a lot easier to approach, to manage, and to enjoy at times.
So just one last thing, and you said it a couple times here, but it stood out for me because it's so important to my spiritual path. Elliot clearly said, you got to have fun. You have to have fun. If this spiritual path of enlightenment is not fun, why are we doing it? Can you speak about how this is a joyful ride, even when things you said weren't necessarily happy? The way you would design them, you made them fun.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, life is a gift. I get so much enjoyment from it, because if I'm not focused on the fun of it, I start to lose sight of what is the point? Why am I here? You know, the point of life is not the degree. It's not, you know, the connections and the handshakes. It's not cleaning my house every day, right? What is the point of it? For me, it's love, but it's also discovery. I just enjoy getting to see what life has to offer, what the people around me have to offer. It's fun. If I'm not having fun, you know, then where am I getting that fulfillment from? How am I keeping myself going? So even when it doesn't look necessarily like tangible fun or positive feelings, I'm not going to carnivals every day, I'm not going to the movie theaters every day. I am sitting and finding the enjoyment in every task that I do to the best of my abilities, whether that be the classes that I'm teaching, am I having fun with my students? Whether that be the writing I'm doing, am I enjoying the words that I'm putting on the page? Whether that be cleaning, I told Richard, my favorite chore is vacuuming. I find fun in that. Even if it's tedious, you know, I get to enjoy it.
There's a meditation at my house after the service today.
I enjoy it. You know, I get to have fun in looking at nature and all sorts of these things in the people that I'm meeting every day. For me, that is such a core part of why we're here on this planet.
I just want to end with one statement for this congregation. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lover, the dreamer, and me. The lover, the dreamer, and we. We have a final slide that I'd like you. This was the poem I read for the meditation. I invite you to say this and to take everything that Elliot, I told him, we're going to have 15 minutes to, what's the meaning of life? And let's cover it. I think he did an amazing job of that. But let's And next week, we'll have another story. These stories are empowering. But if we take Elliot's story and it just stays here as a listening and not an implementing, then it's been an entertainment. It's been wonderful. Our job is to tell the stories in the small groups, out in the world, to find the moments in the congregation to say it. But this is the story that I believe Elliot has told, and which is why this was part of the meditation. I invite you to say this with me with one powerful voice and make it personal. I am the beloved, unapologetic, unmistakable, unboxed, and unbounded rainbow of creation itself, and I shine. You got one more of those in you? Find the depth, find the rainbow connection, find all the colors of the rainbow, live it, breathe it, empower it with one powerful voice together. I am the beloved,
unapologetic, unmistakable, unboxed, and unbounded rainbow of creation itself. And I shine.
Beloved community, dance. Dance with Elliot. Dance with Veronica from last week. Dance with Sabrina, who will be next week. Dance with the person to your left and your right in the full essence of who God has designed you to be. Amen. How about a little applause and a little gratitude?